Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He loves us so much. The Lord's plan of redemption is perfect. And the more I learn about Him, the more I want to learn about Him. The more I learn about Him, the more I want to learn His ways. And I thank God that He is my King. I thank God that He is, period. I'm glad the Lord made everything, and I'm glad He's like He is. I love Him. The more I learn about Him, the more I want to learn about Him. You know, when we receive what He's done for us, and we know that we're connected to Him, you don't have to rely on your own strength, knowledge, wisdom, power, might, understanding. You can all, no matter how weak you are or how strong you are, you can always rely on His wisdom. And I tell people, lately I've been telling people how Jesus did it. Everything that Jesus did, He did as a man. And M-A-N, a man. And the reason He could do what He did, He received the anointing. He didn't just receive the anointing like many modern day preachers. He stayed in fellowship with His Father. Fellowship with the Father. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Not seeking to do something without Him. That's what made the difference. He was always covenant appropriate. And that's my latest confession. I will be covenant appropriate. That's my latest cry for help. I ask the Lord every day. See, these are the last days. The King is coming. He's about to return. He's given me more and more revelation about the rapture than He ever have. And He talked to me about that more now than He ever did. And so, knowing that this time is short, I want to be covenant appropriate. Instead of doing something that might work, I want to do something that definitely will work. So, in these broadcasts, I'm going before the Father. Before I do these broadcasts, I pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, I used to do them in the morning. I do them in the evening because I want a chance to just receive the Word more and pray in the Holy Spirit more and then do them. And I'm asking God to help me. Please be covenant appropriate. Help me do the center of Your will, Your perfect will only. Help me say what needs to be said out of everything that can be said. That's what we need to be doing. That's how we're powerful in Him. Now today is Wednesday. It's March the 30th, 2022. And I thank God for what He's doing. His return is imminent. And I'm looking forward to greater things. I'm looking forward to see what's next. I'm looking forward to the things of God. And, you know, I want to live a lively life. And I want to see what's next. And I want to enjoy being covenant appropriate. So I thank God for all these things. Now, when I think about how good God is and covenant abilities that we have, covenant appropriate, covenant left, all of it, I want to do more. See, we're designed to be like Him. Yesterday's broadcast was called Living Likeness. Living Likeness. We're like Him. We're like Jesus. And that's how we bear fruit. And if you, like I said in yesterday's broadcast, if you bear fruit, He'll purge you that you bear more fruit. Now, none of this is true for people who turn their heart away. And, you know, Jesus showed us why people turn away. The parable of the sower. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 shows us how to be strong. And if we don't do those things that cause us to mount up, then we mount down. And John shows us that we got to walk in love. If we walk in darkness, we stumble over things. And you can't fill your heart with the word with the intent to do it, embracing the life of God, loving everybody, and sin. It's not going to happen, folks. I said earlier in another broadcast, Adam lived at the zero line. And if he had eaten off the tree of the tree of life enough, he would not have had appetite for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, which means our tree of life is the word of God. If you keep hearing his word and embracing it, and the love of God is in you, as long as that agape love is flowing through you, you have desire for all the things of God. And one mistake people make is they hear the word, they get full, then they go home. No, when you know, let's say you went to a good church, a good one, and I've seen people do this, and they get fed the word in Sunday school. They be so happy and satisfied. They say, I can go home right now. But they go ahead and stay to the next service. Now, in life, what if you just heard enough word to make you feel good and you feel edified, and then you went and did something else? That's where the enemy, he watches us to see what we do. And I'm saying, good people do this. They don't know what to watch out for. And I got to talk about challenges too, because challenges, everything is challenged. And the enemy he wants to get us weak. If he can't get us weak, he can't win. He has no covenant. So he has to get us to do things that destroy our covenant with God. Then he can attack and make himself look big, like he always try to do. What's important to Satan is power and praise. He want to be power. He want to be the best at everything. But he's not the smartest guy in the room, out of space, or in the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit working in us. God has the smarts. We have the body. We yield to the Lord. Then God give us whatever we need appropriately. We don't have to know everything, remember everything, or even be skilled at everything to win against Satan. The main thing we got to do is continue to yield to God and choose to be like him. Now, back to the Sunday school. You heard a good Sunday school lesson. It filled your heart with joy. Now, go to the next service and let your heart be filled again and strengthened. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the word. This little deviation may help. When you read the word and it ministers to you immediately, you just found a dry spot. It ministered to a dry spot in you. Okay? I've done that. I read different books of the Bible different times. But sometimes something just hit the spot. And I found out that was a dry spot. So the thing to do, if you get full of joy again, don't just go by how you feel. Go back and read that again and again. Let that word get in you. Let that word be a part of you. Don't go by how good you feel, because that's subject to change. Not saying that your joy will be taken, because the enemy can't take it. And the peace, he can't take that. The world can't take it. God gave it to you. It's yours. You have to do something. You have to do something against it for it to be gone from you. You have to yield to temptation somewhere or believe lies. That's what. And you destroy. You yield your own peace away. But you don't have to. You can stay in the peace, follow the peace, and do things to fortify your life. But when you hit a dry spot and the word feels so good and you feel so edified, don't be like the people that say, well, I got my word for the day. I'm going home. No. Fill your heart with the word. Whatever God give you. Now, as I matured in the Lord, I started out reading whatever I want. But I started letting the Lord decide what I read, because he knows where we're going. And he knows how to teach me so that I don't get in pride, fall for something that I shouldn't, get a misunderstanding and things like that. See, now on Saturdays, on the weekend, my day of rest, I study whatever I want. But during the week, I always ask the Lord, what should I study? If I sense that the Lord wants my attention and wants to tell me something, I yield. I just yield to the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want to talk about? And just be quiet and listen. If he give me a scripture, something to go on, or if he just talk to me, all that's fine with me. If I'm studying something I just want to study. When I was a younger man, I used to love to read Revelation and try to figure it out. That's a hobby of mine. Revelation, Daniel, that's a hobby for me. I love to study and I love end time things. Now we're about to face it. And when every time the Lord talk about the rapture and how his mighty return is going to be, I get a little nervous and I say, man, there's too many people that have not heard the word like they should. There's too many weak people out there. And there's too many things that good people don't know. And I get concerned all over again. And now I'm saying, Lord, help me be covenant appropriate. And I will be covenant appropriate. I speak words of faith. Faith involves God. Faith looks to God. I speak words so that I can be whatever God need me to be at the time. It don't matter how smart you are. You don't have to be smart. I thought about this earlier. God happened to call me to be an apostle. You don't have to be smart to be an apostle. You don't have to be smart to be a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet. You just have to be able to yield to the Lord, and you can be very effective. You can be so effective, you make the devil nervous. And I don't care if he gets nervous. I don't care if he don't like me. I don't like him. I don't like his ways. And I don't want to be nothing like him. Now, since I said that, God doesn't deal with hatred. So I hate Satan's ways. Now, people, angels, if Satan didn't fall, I would have been happy with him if he would have stayed Lucifer. But he became froward against me. So I got to treat him like an enemy. It's not that I hate him, per se. I hate his ways. I hate what he stands for. I know he can't love me. He can't help me. I don't want his help. I don't want him around me. I don't like him. There was a time I wanted to kill him, but I told him I was going to kill him. I was so frustrated with Satan one time. I said, I'm going to kill you. I said, I know I can't kill you like I kill a man, but I'm gonna expose you for the lie that you are. I said, I'm going to do all that God give me to do and enjoy it. And not just to kill you, but I'm going to enjoy what God give me to do. But I'm going to make sure I obey him. And I'm going to defeat you. And it's not my main goal, but it's a bonus. And that's how I put it. And I meant every word of it. And I said it a few times after that. So, every time I thought of some of his plots or sensed it from the Holy Spirit, I put a stop to it. And the Lord told me some good news about that. That's a private. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what he said. He said, the angels call you the warrior. I only told my son that. Maybe very, very few people I ever admitted that to. But I didn't say that for people to look up to me. That was just something that the Lord said to edify me. Now, when you're faithful, the angels start talking. And the Lord talks. The Lord recommends. He knew Satan was no match. He knew that Satan couldn't outwit Job. the Lord started this. He said, "Have you?" He saw Satan walking around trying to find another Nimrod replacement. He said, "Have you considered my service, Joe?" Oh man, it's just, it tickles me to think. You know, Satan, he walking to and fro trying to find another Nimrod replacement. How do you know that? I knew it by the Holy Spirit. It just came up one Sunday I was doing Bible Sunday school. I never thought about that. That came from the Holy Spirit. I can't know stuff like that unless the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. He was looking for another Nimrod. He couldn't find one. And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? One that fears God and shuns evil. And there's nobody like him on earth." So that was an evaluation. I get tickled because Satan wants to show himself that he's so wise and so smart. And he thought he could just do whatever. And he thought he was smarter than God, I guess. He wanted the praise that goes to God. He wanted to be the best. He going to be like the Most High. Wrong. But he's going to and fro trying to find another Nimrod. And I was reading the book of Joshua, and come to find out, Esau was the one that killed Nimrod. In fact, he killed him the day that he sold his he sold his birthright. That's why he was so tired. He just got through killing Nimrod and escaping his soldiers. So if you want to study it, study it. It's in the book of Joshua, and I believe every word of it. Nevertheless, Satan is a crooked serpent. He has no covenant with God. Now, he is smarter. He's supposed to be smarter than me. He used to be an angel that covered. He was a king class. You know, he was governing class. I don't know that. I believe his jurisdiction was our solar system, you know. And there's reasons why. Rahab was busted in pieces, broken in pieces. Rahab was the fifth planet between Mars and Saturn. That planet was destroyed. Now, since I brought that up, I know what happened because I asked the Lord questions about these things. Years ago, when my daughter was a kid, my oldest daughter, she's almost 30 now, but she, back in 96 or 7, well, it had to be after 96, so she was a little girl. I was reading her book. You know, she had a book of the solar system. So, and I said, here's Mercury, then Venus, then Earth, then Mars, then that was an asteroid belt, and the biggest piece was the size of a house. That's what they had in her book, you know. Then it went to the gas giants and all the way out to Pluto. And the Lord had already told me originally that there was 12 planets. Now, I'm just a little deviation how I learned something, you know, coming back. But nevertheless, the Lord told me it was 12 planets originally. And so this reference is also to when Joseph had a dream that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to him. In his dream. And then the same thing with the sheaves. Well, that was 12, okay? And I remember that, you know, that was a scripture reference that that David gave me one time. I had told her about the dream. Nevertheless, and she said, that was 11 stars plus Joseph, that's 12. So that's, you know, when God tells you something, there's always evidence. Now, somebody will say, well, where's the 12th planet? Well, that's a good question. You need to seek the Lord. I did. But God, you know, he knows what he's doing. And but the asteroid belt, I knew it in my heart. That's where Lucifer was when he made his Isaiah 14 statement. You know, when he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars, the clouds. You know, he ended up saying, I would be like the Most High. You know, all these allusions to grandeur. He made five statements that caused him to go from being Lucifer to Satan. So his solar, kingdom was destroyed. He has no covenant. Jesus said, I saw Satan cast down like lightning in Luke chapter 10. And it's not a big deal to be to have power over the enemy. They have no covenant, we do. That looks good in the eyes of man. But guess what? We don't yield or partake of any form of preeminence. We don't deserve what Jesus did for us. He said, don't rejoice that because you have power over devils, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, we don't get it twisted. This is a grace. God gave us grace. He gave us salvation. He offered it to every man. Every man. And see, Jesus did this as a man. He walked on water as a man would do it. People say, well, he was the Son of God. Yes, he's the Son of God, but he walked on water as a man. He raised the dead as a man. He's not the only one that raised the dead. God has raised up people who actually in ministry raised the people from the dead and worked miracles and everything else. But he did it as a man. And we do the same thing. We do what he did. Now, what did he do that set him apart from others? He spent time with his Father. So when you spend time with your Father, you can go forward in the things of God. When you spend time with your Father, you can do things. He can cause you to do what you normally couldn't do on your own. So our strength, good way to put it. When it comes to receiving holy things of God in the most holy place in the temple, the priests wore linen, garments that caused no sweat. But in the outer courts, they wore wool when they went out where the people were. Okay? There's your balance. When it comes to the things of God, the living holy, doing the holy things of God, we don't earn that. We're given what to say. As a man of God, I'm given what to say, what to teach, what to preach, what to do sometimes under the anointing. I'm not sweating. When the Lord wake me up and I pray in the Holy Spirit, you know, that's a sweatless effort to me. When he gave me knowledge and understanding, when he gave me the book to write, The Cost of Freedom, I took two steps and knew what to put in the book. He had given me dreams, visions, and conversations, and he had me, I knew what order to put it in, and I had no writer's block. I knew what to write in that book. He downloaded how to do it in my spirit. That's like the linen garments. I didn't sweat, okay? But when I go out among the people, when the Lord tell me where to go, now I got on my wool garment. I'm sweating. I can wherever I go, God, you know, if I have to go tell a man a word, I'm walking. I'm among the people. When I'm preaching and teaching, that's outer court ministry. But what I receive, that's inner court ministry. And when I'm ministering what God gave me, I'm doing the work of the, you know, I'm doing the work of the ministry, but I'm not sweating. When we work our jobs out among the people and we tithe, we're among the people again. We're now out of court. You had to earn money in order to tithe. David said, I won't give something that costs me nothing. We're sweating. If you pay your tithes, that's out of court. We're sweating. But what we receive, we're not, that's a grace. Our calling is a grace. We ought to make our calling and election sure. We ought to be students of the word. We ought to be receptive. See, my relationship with the Lord, I'm seeking the Lord, and I'm wearing linen clothes then. I'm not sweating. God is giving me what I need. If he tell me to go and do something, he gives me what I need. And then when I'm among the people working with them, then I can sweat. But I'm relaying what God gave, see. But anyway, we do things opposite to what Satan did. And then guess what? We get exalted like he wanted to be. that's what gets me, you know. You know, when you contrast what Lucifer said in Isaiah 14 And then what happened to Jesus in Ephesians 4, I'm going to contrast it, and then we'll move along. God loves us. See, the point of this broadcast is to show you how and why we're powerful, how and why Satan is afraid of us. And this is why. Look at verse 14, chapter 14, verse 12. Glasses. Okay, he said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," this is what Satan said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven." That's the first thing he said. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." See, all the suns, they're stars somewhere. And that those are realms. He's going to exalt his throne above those realms. Where you see stars in the sky, he's going to exalt himself above the other kingdoms. Okay, he said, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Remember in Job chapter 1, Satan came also among the sons of God. See, if you never heard this, I understand. You're just going to have, I'm just going to move along. Because, see, all the stars, they're different realms. They're kingdoms. And so he's going to exalt himself above. But there's a meeting place in the great congregation in the sides of the north. So that's a meeting place where the sons of God go to present themselves before the Lord, to tell the Lord what they've been doing. You know, God has order in his kingdom. The whole creation is his kingdom. He's the King of Kings. Jesus is the King of Kings. He became the King of Kings. Now, verse 14, he said, this is the, 1, 2, 3. The fourth thing he said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." Okay. Wherever the congregation in the sides of the north is, there's clouds there. He's going to go above that too. And then he said, "And I will be like the Most High." He's going to be like God. Now, he thought he could usurp. That's how he became Satan. He said, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners, of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. And as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet." Okay, everybody he said he was going to exalt himself over, be that captain and king, he's going to be in the pit, and they're going to still be living in their nice houses. He said, "Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned." Now, let's see what happened to Jesus. And Jesus, remember now, Jesus did everything he did as a man. And I have scripture for every statement I made. But I'm going to move along, okay? He said, this is Ephesians chapter 4. He said, I'll start at verse 1. It gives it more clarity. Sometimes the spirit of the word, when you get the whole concept. But if you get a partial concept, you got partial light. But let's get it all. Ephesians 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." He said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." He's following chapter 3, okay? This is a continuation of chapter 3, but let's continue on anyway. Verse 2, he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." See, Paul loves run-on sentences. Okay, verse 4, which is fine with me. I don't mind. "There is one body, one Spirit, and as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." How about that? and God the Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, or for this reason, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Watch verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended, Jesus, is the same also that ascended up. Now watch this. Watch the wording real close. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. All heavens. That's the key word to what I'm about to share. This is Jesus. He descended in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. This is why our Savior is also the King of all kings. But it also says that Father is above him. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the Lord put his only begotten Son far above all kingdoms. And he did it, my friend, as a man. So, don't forget that. When you, through Christ, honor the Father, he empowers your life to do whatever needs to be done. But don't try to take credit for it like the devil did. You can't follow the Father, and you can't follow the Lord and think like the devil. You have to